pop culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know, Rated R.
From the greatest minds from around the world, this is the Nerds That Know, Stash here with my wonderful menagerie of freaks, fairies, and fools. Please introduce yourself, one and all.
I would be a freak, a fairy, and less of a fool, unless you're talking about the perfect fool in, like, the realm of tarot, who, you know, just wants to
I'm not the perfect fool,
but no. I am a freak and a fairy.
There you go. Two out of three is not bad, and the third is arguable.
I will claim all three of those labels, and Fox here.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Bobby.
Smurf says it all.
Tank here. I think Fool is about the only one I qualify for on that list.
Oh, come on. You need to live a little bit. I mean, your partner just did call Bobby a whore.
Yeah.
In her defense,
to be fair, they are sisters.
Yeah. Well, normally she calls me by my beautiful and loving nickname, which is Twat Blossom, and I call her by her loving and beautiful sisterly nickname, which is Slut Puppet.
Yep.
Those are beautiful.
Right? So we're going to be getting tattoos together. She's getting a marionette, and I'm getting a big flower. But we're not telling anybody because she just calls me Blossom and I just call her Puppet. It was really amusing because the other day her five-year-old was like, Mommy, you're such a puppet. And I had to be like, Sweetie, only Mimi's allowed to call Mommy that. Because she had no idea that she was calling her mother a whore.
I think that Twat Blossom is cheap. Twat Blossom is genuinely pleasant. Like,
right?
It's a flower.
And then our beautiful sister-in-law, whom we also love dearly, who is part of our inner triad, is Cunt Cake.
Yeah, Cunt Cake.
Like the baker.
Yes.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for joining us.
They have their own Powerpuff Girls thing going on. Mm-hmm. Except for they're just bitchy and passive-aggressive.
That sounds right.
But with love.
I mean, you can still be bitchy and passive aggressive and love one another.
I didn't say work the other thing. I just said you have to act.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So.
I like that shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Bobby. So
we have many, many things to cover tonight.
All right, what do we want to start with? Let's start with something.
Let's start with sisters, and that would be irregulars.
That was an interesting one.
Yeah, because there are sisters, Bea and Jess.
I get it.
And I actually, salutations, sister and nerdy friends, or at least they're my friends. Yes, Vance. Vance says hello to all.
Yes.
Hello, Vance.
Hello. Irregulars, what's our base level reaction so far to those of us that have seen it? River, you were making a ruckus.
I watched through the first episode, and I gotta say, they did get my attention by the end of it. So,
yeah, I'll come back for the second. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not Invincibles.
Oh, that was crazy. Yeah,
so it's kind of hard to compare the two because that's the order in which I watched them.
Same here. I watched Irregulars first.
Yeah, so I'm going to watch the second episode of Irregulars for sure. Yeah. I'm curious enough to do that.
I am 4 episodes in, and I think they're doing some really interesting things.
So, like I said, I finished it, and I really liked the way they went with it. And it is different from anything else I've ever seen for Sherlock Holmes portrayed in. And I like the way they have the different characters. You know, that each one really is their own unique standalone character that does really rely on the others.
Mm-hmm. They remind me of a very effective gang, and that's essentially what they are.
That's exactly what they are.
And they're a gang who investigates the supernatural, such as it is. And I have to say, like, I'm pleasantly surprised how much I'm enjoying it. It's like, I definitely didn't want to stop watching it when I finished the fourth episode today.
Yeah, like I said, I just watched the whole thing straight through, and I was pleasantly surprised by the ending, because the ending was not what I expected it to be, but it was, it had the twist that I expected, but it didn't have the ending that I expected.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So far, I'm getting some Sleepy Hollow meets the Magicians vibes.
Very much. Yeah, that is a good description.
It is. I'm, so one of the, I don't know if it's issues, it's one of the things I noticed, is the incredible prevalence of, like, multicultural people in this movie. And it's set in, like, one of the most racist periods in UK history ever. And it is not addressed at all.
I love that, because with Bridgerton, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, they just aren't going to mention it. We're just putting people of color in historical fiction now. And then they have that explanation of, like, oh, the king fell in love with the black lady, and that's why everything's better now. And I'm like, that sucks. I hope they continue to not address it.
I don't know. Like, it's one of those things that whenever I see a historical piece like this, I understand that casting multicultural is an important thing, but we do have to take into account... Yes, River, I'm aware you're right there. Jesus Christ, dog. I feel like it's something that needs to be addressed in some way, because certain characters just at that time, it's hard to suspend disbelief when you know anything about that time period. When you see something that obviously breaks the mold of the time, it's just like if you were to see a cell phone setting out, it's not right.
I don't think it's that drastic. I don't think it's like when you see a Starbucks cup on a banquet table in Game of Thrones. Like, I don't think it's that. You know?
They did make some subtle... I've only watched the first episode so far, but they did make subtle hints towards that.
Yeah, like, I mean, I got a Penny Dreadful vibe, like, really heavily watching just the first episode.
They made a subtle hint towards them being lower class, and I don't think that was only a their poor thing. I think that was also
That was a statement.
That was a statement of, you look different than me, and I'm the rich white guy, so you get the fuck out of my way.
You can kiss my ass.
Yeah, but I mean, think about Watson.
Yeah, that's my problem, is like, Watson is darker skinned and of a higher class.
And which is not normal, but it's not completely unheard of.
It is not completely unheard of.
At that time, in the UK...
Yes.
It was pretty unheard of.
It was rare, but it still happened. If you have enough money, you can buy anything. Doesn't matter what color you are.
Well, it would be more likely to happen in England than it would be in the U.S. If that happened in the U.S., that there would not have been a mourning for that gentleman the next day. Yeah. So, I mean, there is the unlikelihood of it happening, but it is more plausible in England.
All right, we also have to try to figure out the exact time.
Anywhere else.
We have to figure out the exact time period, which they haven't given us enough to tell us. Really? Because if you think about the guy who Jess communes with.
The Louisiana fellow?
Oh, see, I haven't seen this part, so I don't know.
That's why I'm being able to.
Right? And he's obviously of money, and he's with us.
And how many
even goes back in later episodes when they're doing the mind travel, and you can see his past.
How many episodes are there?
Eight.
Yeah, it was eight, I think.
Right. I think it was eight. But you can see his past of the racism.
Mm-hmm.
But which is making me think that it's not completely, you know, like we have a generalized time frame. But
yeah, because the evolution of technology puts it in like the early 1800s, I would say.
Okay, but then have you been to the tarot episode?
Yes, that's the one I just finished. That's okay. Why I'm staying that time period.
It's
because the technology in the room upstairs
right. being abused.
Yeah, that's 1800s, early 1800s, or I'd say mid 1800s.
I'm thinking where you have to at least be mid to late 1800s because of Jess's companion.
River, calm down.
I feel like if we can suspend disbelief for supernatural occurrences, we can suspend disbelief for people of color existing. And like in that time period in also, yeah. whatever, like.
So my problem isn't the people of color. Like I actually appreciate colorblind casting. In fact, one of my favorite versions of Cinderella of all time has Whoopi Goldberg as the queen. So it's a white king, a black queen, and an Asian prince. Right.
Yeah, I think
it's the one with Brandy and Whitney Houston and all that. So, like, the people of color is not my concern. Like, my thing is that one of the characters in the show is a very well-off Louisiana man who...
So, if they're specifically addressing Louisiana, that kind of places a time period, too.
Right.
Because that wasn't known as Louisiana for, you know, a good chunk of history.
Louisiana.
I mean, he definitely specifies Louisiana.
Yeah, so at the very earliest, you're looking at the
white suit, he's in the flat hat, you know, but then you actually see him going back and reliving some of those darker past, some of that, you know, not slavery, but still, you know, definitely some of that darker time in the South.
Mm-hmm. Which is, to be fair, up until like the current time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and we're not going to get into all of that, but, you know, so that's why I'm saying we don't have enough to say exactly this is when this is happening. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like just saying based on their, you know,
well, that might be intentional too. They don't maybe not want you to nail down a specific time period because it's a work of fiction.
And you know what? I'm okay with that. Like, I very much enjoyed it. I thought that the fact that this is something that I've never seen before, and how many times can you say that?
Mm-hmm. The thing I like about it is not. Overly juvenile. Like a lot of these TV series that are made for like young adults, they play very hard to those audiences and it creates kind of a cheesy experience for those of us that are a little older who's watching it. So like October Faction is one I felt that was this way. Where it played too much to a specific audience.
Agreed.
That's fair.
And this one does a lot better job of having enough to it that it doesn't alienate you with the kind of youthful attempts at relationships and finding ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was very well done. I'm anxious to watch the rest of it. How many episodes is it?
Like I said, I believe there's eight.
Eight? So it's not that long. I'm halfway through.
Yeah, like I said, I finished it in a day.
Yeah.
You know, but because I work from home, you know, I have my computer on my desk and I'm working and then I have my little TV sitting above it.
Mm-hmm.
I have that going at the same time.
Makes sense. It's like, I'm curious to see how it ends, and I really like how they're laying into the spiritualism craze that took the UK and the... I mean, it happened a lot in the US, but that isn't directly addressed in this. This is more of a UK thing, which experienced much the same with Crowley and et cetera. So it's been interesting. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, like I said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was something different from what I'd seen before. And it's very rare that I can find something that's actually unique. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, Smurf.
I agree. We're always asking for something new. This is it. So, I mean, and like I said, there's a lot of similarities. I feel like, you know, Penny Dreadful eking through Carnival. What was that one with Orlando Bloom?
Carnival Row.
Yeah, that was kind of eking through as well. There's a lot of elements that you get through the first episode that have intrigued me enough to watch the rest of it. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's positive. And to Stash's point, yeah, when you compare like October Friction to like Lock and Key and this one, yeah, they're definitely attaching themselves to a better approach for that generational gap that others have failed at. So I'm curious to see where it goes. I'll watch it. I'll finish it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to not finish it. How about that?
I'll finish watching it up this week.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and this week.
Touch on it again next week then when we come back and see, you know, once the rest of the team has finished it, see if I was the only one who was happy with the way that it ended.
Okay.
There's lots of other things. All in Godzilla.
I'm so excited. It's only 2 days away.
Yes, but we're going to talk about that next week when it's actually out.
Oh, yeah. Smurf brought it up, and I'm excited. I rewatched all the movies from that series.
Did the same. Team Godzilla, baby. Team Godzilla.
Team Godzilla, now and forever.
When the monkey hits the floor. When the monkey hits the floor.
Dude, did you know that remix of Godzilla at the end of Godzilla King of the Monsters was done by Death Clock?
I did.
And it is just a phenomenal, phenomenal job.
It's awesome. It's a great work. It really is a great piece of work. So,
Brendan Smalls really is a talented musician.
Yep. So be here next week to hear our thoughts and our reaction. As the monkey hits the floor.
No chance that Starro shows up, is there?
What's that?
There's no chance that Starro shows up?
No, there's no chance that Starro's going to
show up. They specifically called him a kaiju.
They did! They called him out completely in the trailer as a kaiju. I was like, you dirty motherfuckers. Oh, I was so pissed. And I was pissed that no one had a star on their face.
I think that's going to come... be part of the story, I'm guessing, is that whoever the president of that country is.
So if you're sitting there scratching your head trying to figure out what the fuck we're talking about, it is the new trailer to Suicide Squad that the master James Gunn has put together.
Oh my
and
God.
I'm not as annoyed with John Cena as I honestly thought I was going to be.
I agree.
That's impressive.
The fact that he still has a serving dish on his head, I find a bit kind of eh.
Well, that's the character, though.
It is the character, but his representation and his lines that he delivered were actually kind of like, that was funny. It actually fits with the character in the book. Okay, you got my attention.
And I think
big fan of Stallone's character. Oh, not going to lie.
Dude, King Shark? I just love it.
Nom.
No, it actually looks like we may get a decent Suicide Squad.
I don't know if I go that far.
No.
I didn't say good. I said decent.
It's James Gunn, though.
It looks like fun.
Can we say a non-vomit worthy?
It's kind of hard to fuck up King Shark because all he does is eat things. And after watching him in Harley Quinn on the HBO animated,
which
is absolutely priceless. I love the King Shark there. You can't really go wrong with King Shark. I'm really curious about Peter Capaldi as the Mad Thinker. That was a little...
That was weird looking.
That was a little weird looking and a bit over the top, even for the Suicide Squad, but okay, fine. Whatever. I'm there
for the Bloodshot and Patriot thing here, I think.
Yeah.
Because they seem to have an interesting interaction. Him, Idris, and Xena seem to have a budding buddy cop kind of thing happening.
Yeah, they got a little chemistry. And then you've got, you know, Michael Rooker coming in with Lord knows what.
God, he looks crazy.
He looks absolutely batshit crazy. He looks nuttier than owl shit. That man, just as he's sitting there with his Sean Connery hair from The Rock.
Polka Dot Man looks like he wants to kill himself.
Bob, what do you think?
If you were Polka Dot Man, wouldn't you want to kill yourself?
My thoughts, so I don't even think he had a speaking part in the trailer, but what's the comedian's name? He's got the blonde hair in the trailer. I think it's like Pete Davidson.
Oh, something like that. Yes, from Saturday Night Live. Everyone is like saying he's like the rookie in the sea of, you know, veterans.
Crazy veterans.
I'm really curious to see what he does. So it's an interesting cast.
And you can tell, like, that first team that they showed, they're dead, right? Like,
oh yeah, they're absolutely
Javelin and Boomerang and all of that. They're dead, right? That's just going to happen in that movie.
Well, I mean, we get to see that on screen.
I'm assuming we do. Might make it out because Boomerang is always, you know, the one slippery motherfucker. But yeah.
Javelin's
I don't know, man.
Javelin's toast.
Yeah.
So's Polka Dot Man. You can't
have to kill somebody.
Polka Dot Man, I'm waiting for Condiment Man to pop up behind him and just go, you missed me. That's pretty much the only joke I can see coming from that one.
Well, and then Nathan Fillion, we didn't see any sequences from him, but if they're playing him as the, you know,
I don't know. I mean, James Gunn obviously owes him a favor for leaving him out of Guardians for two movies, by the way. Yeah, I mean, you can't identify him in the first one.
He's the guy who pulls his limbs off and uses them as weapons. Why am I not?
Yes, you don't know that's Nathan Fillion. You can't identify him.
Yeah, okay, but here's the thing: anything with Nathan Fillion, I'll pretty much watch.
Fair enough.
TV shows, I'll at least watch an episode.
Rookie
is garbage.
Casualty in this
like
one.
Like I said, an episode.
Yeah. He might be a casualty. I'm waiting for him to show up and just see what rip ridiculous off his arm character. And throw it
at somebody? Yeah,
that would be actually kind of funny, and I could see Gunn doing that as kind of a, you know, gotcha. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is his superpower. Technically, he can detach his limbs and
grow them back.
Use them as weapons.
I really want him to have a hammer,
like an actual hammer.
Yeah, like. A ball peen hammer? I mean, is he going to crush the toes?
Like a Thor's hammer? Or
like a Captain Hammer?
Okay. Oh, what?
Why Captain Hammer?
What's a Captain Hammer?
Is that something you use in the kitchen?
Is this a penis thing?
Are you guys serious right now? The hammer is his penis.
Thank you.
okay.
Are we going to see Nathan Fillion's penis? I doubt it.
I wish. I can't believe that reference went over your head and I got it.
Yeah, that
I
one.
Know. Wow.
One shot past me.
I haven't had enough to drink yet, obviously.
All right. That's
because no guy would detach his penis willingly.
Everybody must now go out and watch Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog because you all suck.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
It's been a very long time.
It's been like 10 years since I've seen that. So.
Yeah, not my first go-to film. Sorry.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's your first go-to film or not. You should still have it memorized.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
Hammerman, I don't think I can explain how important it was that you stopped the van.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely can carry a tune, Fox.
Thanks.
Yes, so, yes, yeah. I know it's on the Plex because you, unlike the rest of these Yahoos, understand the importance.
Hey, easy now.
Okay.
Simmer down now, Sparky.
That's aggressive.
Yeah, simmer down now. Simmer down now.
Calling you a Yahoo is aggressive, but when I call your wife a whore, it's okay.
Yeah, that's my wife. That's her fight, not mine.
Your sisters. You don't get in the middle of family. That's all that happens with
yeah,
that.
I'm not so, stopping that.
With it, it's true. You really don't get in between sisters. It's no. Just the way that works.
So since we're Nick on the DC...
agrees. Don't argue with sisters. No. He just says damn Skippy on that.
Yeah. So since we're on the subject of DC, another trailer, well, kind of like a sneak peek, got let loose at Times Square. And oh. I cannot be freaking happier. I have been begging for this character 4 years.
Oh, yes.
The Rock being Black Adam was spectacular, but oh, yeah. I think he is going to out Ryan Reynolds with this whole thing.
Ooh, that is so big.
That's a like Deadpool Ryan Reynolds?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, when you think about it, look at this. He took over Times Square for nothing more than a logo and him talking. Ryan Reynolds never did that. The gauntlet has been thrown. The lightning bolt has been tossed. Ryan Reynolds, you've been outdone. Sorry to break it to you.
Well, the Rock showed you up. Yeah, he's more self-indulgent, which is crazy a thought, but yeah.
But I think,
and here's the thing. Stash feels about Dwayne Johnson not quite the level that Smurf feels about Tom Cruise, but it's pretty close.
It is pretty close.
The thing is, like, I hate so much that he's in Moana, and I love that movie.
Oh,
like
I hate him in Moana. Him like as Maui
it's
is
not as bad as Tom Cruise mm-hmm. because, see, Stash saw Moana. If Tom Cruise had been in Moana, Smurf wouldn't have seen Moana.
Nope. I don't condone bad service, so I don't go back to restaurants. I don't condone bad actors, so I don't go to their movies. It's a pretty good rule.
Liar. You've re-seen actors that are terrible actors.
But they're not Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
No, that's your limit.
Tom Cruise
is Smurf Kryptonite.
Do you not,
and Edge of Tomorrow is still cocktail? A great movie, okay?
What's a great movie?
Talk Edge to. Of Tomorrow?
No.
Yes.
No on both.
Excellent.
Okay. But
it's like Groundhog Day with violence.
Either
not
way.
Not only is Black Adam going to be,
yes.
We all agree, pretty amazing.
Yep.
But he's brought in Pierce Brosnan to be Dr. Fate.
Which is now, crazy.
This is crazy. This is a curveball that I don't think anyone really would have guessed as a character, because there's so many other Mystic characters to bring in on the DC side. I figured like Zatanna or maybe some more of the Shazam family, even like bring in a Superman Black Adam fight, which everyone would love to see.
Yeah.
Instead, they tap Pierce Brosnan, who's the Doctor Strange of the DC universe, with Dr. Fate and his powers in the helmet. I'm excited to see it.
I love Pierce Brosnan.
I agree. Like, 007?
I didn't like him as like the pain in the ass boyfriend in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Wow. Okay.
That's too much for me. Sorry.
That's quite the run by fruiting you got there.
That is how much my love goes deep.
Wow. All right. No, this is so spectacular. Cool.
And it seems like this was a push by Dwayne Johnson, if rumors are correct on this. He pushed for Pierce Brosnan.
You know, I think if this movie is as amazing as we all believe that it will be, we
except
will
for me.
Tie Stash down and make him then have a Dwayne Johnson movie marathon.
Oh, Jesus. I wouldn't subject you to that.
I would. Jumanji wow. Night. Here we come.
How about The Rock plays country music and we play some old WWE stuff for him?
Oh, gross.
I'm comfortable with that. Just all Dwayne Johnson on the TV for a solid 8 hours.
We can get him to do Get Shorty 2 where he smacks his own ass in that clothing store.
I promise I will bring the big bottle of vodka.
It'll be great.
You will see me shit-faced by the end of it.
Okay, so here's the thing, right? Speaking of the big bottle of vodka, all right.
Uh-oh.
So I actually buy handles of vodka at a time just for this podcast. Not because I'm an alcoholic, but because we used to record all together as a group. And when we did, this and a six pack of cranberry juice lived in my backpack. And I would come over to Casa La Stash and I would proceed to pour drinks. And now that we're all in our own domiciles, I'm sitting here sipping on wine, knowing I don't have to drive anywhere. And that bottle of vodka has been sitting under my desk since December.
Well, it's a good thing it doesn't go bad.
I'll get to it. Don't worry. Yeah, it's got a shelf life
for like when I want to drink in the house. But like that is the designated Nerds That Know vodka.
Is it good vodka or nail polish vodka?
It's mediocre vodka. It's vodka for mixing.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the road.
Fox is the only one who really does shots of it, and I always make sure that he has stuff to do chasers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm a giver.
You are. And so
Thank
is the
you,
Rock.
Bobby, for
he
being
gives, the Rock.
He gives roles to people. I think DC, AT&T, is just putting this all on the Rock's back. If it's a success, way to go. If it's a failure, you suck. They're not taking any ownership of it at this point, and they're
Deadpooling this. It looks like.
Yep, it's the Rock. It's the Rock show.
No.
Which Great. Sounds like a movie I just can't wait to not see.
Oh, I'm gonna drag your happy ass to it if I gotta tase you.
I will Don't willingly watch me with it just because time. I want to see Black Adam.
I promise we will all go to this one together because this one actually should be in theaters, unlike Marvel, which has decided that Black Widow is going to go onto Disney Plus in fucking July.
Well, it's also going to theaters.
It's also going to theaters. And to be fair, they have given Scarlett Johansson the bad deal. I feel bad what they have done to that poor woman. She begged for a movie. They finally give it to her, and then they just jerk her around afterwards. It's just...
And then they kill her.
And then they kill her? It's like, seriously? You guys suck.
Well, apparently...
You know what? If I was going to jerk her around, I would at least make sure she got pleasure out of it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Apparently, part of the reason for the pushback and part of the reason for them... going that's as far as they can go is we are going to be getting an appearance of people in that movie during Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Which is not a surprise. That makes absolute sense.
That does make sense, and especially since Falcon and Winter Soldier was supposed to come out before WandaVision.
Yep.
But why didn't they just tell us that instead of the tiny delay, big motherfucking delay?
I think the only reason we're seeing the delay is money. That's it. They're pushing to the middle of July because they're hoping by then enough people will be vaccinated and enough people will just want to get the fuck out of the house to go see this movie.
I already want to get the fuck out of my house.
But not everyone's going to be, you know, our projected mass and vaccination is the end of June.
I know.
Yeah, they're opening vaccines in Colorado at the end of the week to the general public, so.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, but like, in fairness, I also own like probably 40 masks because I will wear the mask to match my outfit because I've decided that if we have to mask...
I need a cocktail.
...as an accessory. Dude, I'm on my third.
Once I get vaccinated, all my homies are getting French kissed.
Hey, Fox.
That's breaking the law.
Breaking the law. Oh, no, you'll be vaccinated.
I've seen what you can do with that mouth.
Yeah, you have.
Anyway, I'm just saying, like, if you have to wear a mask, you know, turn it into part of your fabulous accessorizing.
Well, that is an interesting question that really hasn't been talked about much. They're saying that, you know, even if you're vaccinated, still wear masks at this time. Mm-hmm. When does that stop being the
That norm? Stops being the discussion, because we're not going to get into that on the podcast.
Yeah.
I will just quickly say, I love wearing masks in public. I don't want none of you motherfuckers breathing on me. Fucking randos at the grocery store breathing on the back of my neck. No, thank you.
All right. So since we talked about Marvel jerking around Scarlett Johansson, let's talk about other things Marvel is doing that's big and newsworthy.
Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 2.
Well, not exactly where I was going, but let's go ahead and start there.
All right. The buddy cop is coming out.
Oh, yes. We have our therapist scene this week.
Right.
Which ended up being deeper than I thought it was going to be, at least on Bucky's part.
Okay. The actual Falcon Winter Soldier duo, I'm liking it. You know, the new Captain America, I can't call him Cap. I just can't. The new dude.
Call him John. That's his name.
Okay, fine. John.
Why is his face so round?
I don't know. The mask, I think, squishes his face.
It fucks up the proportions of the human face in a weird way.
Yeah, because if you've ever seen him normal, he doesn't look like that.
No,
honestly, when he's not wearing the helmet, he doesn't look like such a douchebag.
No, he's got a very strong, square jaw, you know, nice, you know, decent-looking dude, rugged, handsome guy. He looks like a douche.
But John and his little sidekick, you know.
Oh, Battlestar.
Yeah, him. Okay.
Who in the comic books is the fifth Bucky, technically.
What?
Yes.
Okay. To reach through my screen and do a little like head removal and like especially Battlestar, like he was irritating me.
Well, he's supposed to be the chippy young sidekick.
Yeah, well, you know what he was? A giant pain in my ass.
Well, if they take this in the comics direction, he actually does become more interesting at some point.
I certainly hope so, because he can't get more irritating.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say that. Knock on all of the hardwood surfaces.
I'm just excited to see you as Agent freaking Crack.
Oh, already. That's going to happen so hard.
So quick. He's already, like, twitching. I'm like,
the glimpses crazy. Of the crazy evil potential beneath. Mm-hmm. A bit.
I mean, I loved the fade out moment when they're like, we're going to his people. I'm not sure who all has been staying caught up with Falcon and Winter Soldier, so I don't want to like tell you who the people are. But oh, madame.
Oh, I see who you're referencing now.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I got you.
It's a Hydra reference. So good.
I enjoyed that moment. I enjoyed that moment greatly.
I enjoyed that. How openly were we going to talk? Can we mention the fact that they brought in one of the biggest retcon characters that became kind of a big deal in the comics universe? The actual first Captain America?
Oh, I was surprised they went that route.
I was not. Honest with you. That makes sense.
It makes sense. I just didn't expect to see it.
Well, I didn't expect to see it this early.
No.
I figured he was going to be in the show eventually. But they episode 2, they swung for the fences with it.
Yep. And
also got a hint at another character, a future young Avenger, potentially, in that same scene.
Uh-huh.
I feel like this show is progressing much faster than WandaVision did.
Very much so.
Yes.
They're packing a lot of story into this because I think there's a lot of setup in this.
You know, I definitely see why this was supposed to come first. I'm glad WandaVision came first. Yes. I am, because the first couple of episodes of WandaVision were so slow, and they were important to be slow. But this is just bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, you would have seen a drop off if this went second, I think.
Yep.
Or if this went first.
It was a good WandaVision was a good warm up. This is how it should have been. This is good. I'm very happy with this.
The right order.
Yeah, and we got a lot of new characters this week.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. A lot of them. And some of them just referenced at this point, but very important references.
The leader, the actor who plays the leader of the bad guys is like so dreamy. She is so hot. Oh my God.
That is I'm believing a gender bend. Based on her name
alone. They are amazingly attractive.
Yeah, based on her name alone, there is a character with a very similar name that is a guy in the comic books called The Flag Smasher.
Yes.
Interesting.
So she is
adorable.
He is definitely the leader of that group, which I'm thinking is not actually the bad guys of this.
Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like they're kind of a force.
I think they're the red herring.
They are the red herring.
I appreciated the moment when Bucky was like, "I found the hostage," and then it was like, "Kapow!"
She kicks his ass. Oh, hey, you got your ass kicked by a little girl. I like Sam. Sam is funny. I like him. Cracks me up.
And then
Do you feel like Bucky maybe is kind of a little bitch so far?
Yes. That's intentional, though.
Bucky's been a little bitch since the very first Captain America.
Okay, but he hinted at two reasons of why he is the way he is in this last episode.
The therapy is very good thing to have in this series because it's showing like the conflict within his character in a less subtle way.
Well, and the massive conflict that led to him getting involved in this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, questioning Sam is shown to be incredibly important to him.
And I agree with all of that. But I'm also saying I thought Bucky was a bitch in the very first movie with Cap, you know, back when they were teenagers together.
How are you going to call a guy a bitch who's been fighting wars for 70 years?
Well, if he's whining about it.
I'm talking about him back when he was a teenager and he was a bitch then.
Okay.
I don't think so, but all right.
Yeah, all right.
This is a guy that has gone through 70 years of combat almost nonstop and has no idea who he is.
Understood. And I get it.
And the only person that had any direction to give him is now gone.
Fair. I'm just not a Bucky fan.
He has no idea. He is a man literally completely out of time. He is 100 years old and doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
He said so on his date.
He has no idea what to do in this world because he mentioned it in the first episode.
Yeah.
I've been fighting for 70 years. I don't know what peace is. I don't know what that means.
Hey, in the meantime, if he wants to kick some ass, I'm all for it.
This relationship with Sam seems to be hugely important, obviously, in the development of his character, who I guess is no longer the Winter Soldier. I mean,
they haven't called him that,
but they did call him something else.
When he on the subtitles and stuff, he's still referred to as Winter Soldier,
but he's not. He is now technically the White Wolf.
But yes. Marvel calls him that on subtitles.
I think that's just because that's the name of
the show. Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you, because like he calls himself the White Wolf in the episode.
Well, and that's the second time he's been referred to as the White Wolf now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hugely
important. So I hope that means it changes.
But
is the white.
It's an important for that character because it shows a change in direction and a change of mentality.
And it acknowledges Wakanda.
Yeah, and it acknowledges that he, part of his rebirth exists in Wakanda.
And maybe if he has the name change, he won't be such a whiny bitch. Vance says, excuses, buy a self-help book and move on. Sheesh.
Tank is the White Wolf referenced in the comics and the source material at all?
Yes. Yeah, White Wolf is a character that's come up a few times in Black Panther comic books, mostly.
It was one of what, Panther's sisters?
It started out that way, yes. And then they get killed, and there's a little bit of a story because that mantle is technically open in the comic books. And I think that's why they're going this direction. Because this whole shared universe thing that they have now with Marvel in their comic books and movies and stuff, I think that's purposely they're going in that direction to step away from the Winter Soldier moniker into the White Wolf thing.
Okay.
I hope that they do that and that they do that successfully.
And it's more fitting at this point because he's no longer a sleeper agent.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, why are there so many superpowered people all of a sudden? What happened?
I was wondering that too.
That's part of the story.
Yeah.
And we got a hint at what potentially is the cause of this with the threats made towards the Flag Smasher.
Yes.
But that seems to be the story they're going with is that there is somebody that has access to some variant of Super Soldier Serum.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're stronger than the Hydra-derived version.
Yes, definitely.
Which I thought was a very interesting take. But then maybe, again, I also don't know if maybe Bucky is pulling his punches. So
Probably a little bit.
Bucky's a little bit different. He's also cyborg. He's got cybernetic enhancements and everything. There's a lot of differences with Bucky.
His exit of the plane was fantastic and hilarious.
Yes.
This episode, there were genuinely some times where I was laughing out loud. Like, there was some very funny
stuff in this. Yes, you can. There is definitely the comedy part hit a little bit harder this week.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't expect to actually be laughing, but Fox came down when I was watching and I'm sure heard me laughing a couple of times.
And it looks like I was kind of right in this deep dive on racial tension is going to be a key component of the story. With the incident with the police, with the incident,
That was interesting.
That was a weird way they went about that, but they kind of went in a way that made sense. Like, oh, what's this guy doing? And then they find out who he is and, oh, it's okay now.
Yeah.
Okay. You're that guy. So no worries. Yeah. But that is there looks like they're going to be definitely pushing that narrative pretty hard during this series.
I'm really curious because they're hitting things a lot harder than I expected they would. And it's not good or bad right now. It's just, it's interesting. And I'm curious to see how it develops. What do you guys feel about the potential length of this? Because isn't it only supposed to be 8 episodes?
Yes.
Is it? I thought it was 6.
No, I thought it was... No.
I thought it was 6 45-minute episodes.
Okay, maybe.
Regardless, I feel like they're doing a whole lot of setup, and they are going to have to rush a conclusion right now.
I think we're going to be getting some payoffs, but I think there's going to be some stuff that's left open here because they're opening gates to people that shouldn't be here yet. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about subjects that will become very important, especially with the introduction of our Captain America and the reveal of who it looks like is going to be the big bad guy on this show.
Yeah.
Because he plays some big roles in some interesting ways. So
We'll see how it plays out. I'm excited. We'll see.
And we're still getting Thaddeus Ross at some point here, so.
Yep. Well, we'll see what week three brings. So, yeah,
should be fun.
Yes. Yes. What else we got, Bobby? I forgot.
All right. So while we're still on the Marvel train, let's talk about the fact that Marvel has decided to leave Diamond in the dirt.
Yeah. A choice that both Smurf and I kind of saw coming long term.
Oh, a long time ago.
I'm pretty sure we all saw this one coming.
It is interesting because it leaves Diamond with very little distribution value at this point. They have essentially the three largest independent the three largest independent companies at this point, with Image, Boom, and IDW. But yeah, the big two are completely out, and Dark Horse is completely out. Marvel is going the somewhat surprising, but also not surprising considering it's Disney. They're going with Random House and their Penguin Publishing line.
Yeah, not a surprise.
So that makes them more mainstream and they want to hit more places, and that's a good way to go about it. Penguin will push them out to more stores. So,
yep. Oh. You might see more trade paperback.
I always think of like the books that I read as a kid and like the little, you know.
Oh yeah, and that's the exact company, and there's been a little bit of a push because Penguin has done some other publishing stuff before, especially in stuff that you see like at Barnes and Noble and stuff like that. There's a lot of graphic novels and trades and stuff that hit those shelves, and yep. Looks like that's going to be driven even further at this point.
Yep. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more trades and stuff that's been out of print coming back into print, which would be nice. There are there's some good stuff out there that just has not been available for years.
Well, and they killed off that Marvel Masterworks line. This might be their way that they're bringing it back.
We shall see.
And you know, this is not 100% the death knell, but it looks like it's going to be pretty big blow to Diamond. And
Dominus Patris Victorum, you're out. See ya.
Well, I mean, they still have small publishing, but that's probably going to go away. I mean, I can't see them sticking around.
This is like Diamond's, you know, bread and butter.
That's their only business.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that their only business for the last 30 years has been publishing, or not publishing, but transporting and publishing comic books.
Well, they had their own retail stores.
Those were very much dependent on having IP, which they don't have.
No longer. No more Diamond Select toys.
Yeah.
No more Diamond Select. Ooh, some statues might jump in price now. Ooh.
Oh, there's going to be a big jump on some stuff. I'm thinking if they're going to kill off if the Diamond thing is officially gone.
Oh, you know it's going to.
Yeah. A lot of those, even the last 20 years of their stuff is going to shoot up because it's no longer going to be available.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, that back wall of yours is probably going to be very expensive.
Oh, coming to a con near you.
con is going to dig? Anyway.
Hey, Rocky Mountain Con officially, you know, verified their scheduling today. So that's one con for this year.
Well, and San Diego apparently is going to have.
No, 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 no. That exploded in their faces today.
I saw that.
San Diego pulled back from having their con in Thanksgiving.
Did they officially pull up? I was like, there's no way they're going to let this happen. And it's stupid, too. Why would you do it during Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Ask the people that were running Denver Comic Con. Wait, never mind.
Oh, right. we never actually addressed that Denver Comic Con is dead now.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about it in great length.
Yeah, no, they were bought out, and someone. Yeah. Who is it now? What is it now?
FanX. It's Pop Culture Con. No,
it's not that.
Denver Fan Expo.
Fan Expo. That's what it was. Yep.
Yep. Which is supposed to be premiering next year.
So San Diego pulled the plug after huge pushback from fans, creators, The industry just basically was completely in arms. San Diego thought they were coming in with like this great salvation. Hey, we're going to have a con.
We're going to have a live con in November.
Everybody hates you now.
When I saw that, I was like, this is kind of crazy. You know, we're going to, why would you be doing this? I mean, you might get some people, but you're not tapping into most of your audience at that point.
No, I saw like five creators were just like, what the fuck? Seriously?
Yeah. Well, and especially with them doing their own thing now, with, you know, DC doing their own thing, Marvel doing their own thing, they have no reason to say, yeah, sure, let's do that in Thanksgiving weekend.
Such a bad idea.
No.
Such a bad idea. That.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
I don't know. I hate Thanksgiving. I'd like to have something to look forward to.
You hate Thanksgiving because you're allergic to turkey.
And that's understandable, but you're looking at the San Diego Comic-Con, which draws how many people a year?
The largest con in the world.
Yeah. Yep.
What, 300,000? Something ridiculous?
Like somewhere around like, there.
There is
ridiculous.
No chance that 300,000 people is going to go to San Diego during the busiest travel weekend, which will probably be, again, the busiest travel weekend this year, considering the vaccinations. And there's no way that there's going to be that many people that say, yeah, I've been locked in my house for a year and a half. I'm going to go to Comic-Con rather than see my family. Eh.
I'd be that guy.
There's a lot of
people who would be that guy.
But that's not going to be your... You know,
my mom.
In fairness, that's totally going to be their base, and it was their families who got pissed.
And Stash is an asshole, so I mean, it's okay.
In fairness, he's not an asshole; he's a stash hole.
Well, and I'm sure there is a large portion of people that would go to this, but it's not.
I mean, I actually contemplated like, well, I mean, travel wouldn't be horrible, might be able to find a hotel for a reasonable price.
Yeah, but
I thought about it.
It's not going to be 300,000.
No, not close. Not even close. Especially after coming out of, you know, the world burning, everyone's going to want to spend time with their family. They're not going to get
That includes the people that are running all of the IPs that would be showing during this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to want to do that. Like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give up my holiday, the one holiday I actually get off during the year, and I'm going to, go spend my day at Comic-Con.
Yeah. That sounds great to me. You're just selling me on this idea more.
Not everyone is like you, Stash.
It's like, I don't know. I think it would have been interesting, and I think it would have been a good opportunity for Comic-Con to kind of reevaluate what their priorities are and try something new. I do think they did the right thing in canceling it, not because of Thanksgiving, because personally I don't care about that holiday, but I think because vaccines aren't going to be quite where we want them, and getting that many people in a room, like, I imagine it's going to be, what, like 150,000? That's still an insane
they were hoping for, is 150,000.
You're not looking much of a difference, because you have the very next month, Seattle and Chicago a week apart. So, I mean, you're going to still get, like, Emerald City. You're still going to get C2E2. Just a month later and a week apart from each other.
But even that move is a big move.
Yeah.
Not doing it during that week. I think the biggest issue they're having, because their priority, let's be honest, what's their priority? Money.
Money.
Yeah. Their priority is making money. You are not going to make anywhere near as much money as you think you are trying to open up on Thanksgiving weekend. That doesn't make any sense. That's one of the biggest shopping holidays in the world. It's not the biggest shopping holiday in comic book stores.
Yeah, Denver Comic Con. Black Friday. Woo, yeah, let's go to a con. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, guys, let's move on. Right. While we're talking comic books, the Snyderverse. Right?
That's not comics though.
But it's relevant.
All right. I'm just criticizing your transition is all.
While I appreciate the movement to get the Snyder Cut of this movie in play, which they did. And I enjoyed. I appreciated that. The people still pushing the revive the Snyderverse are kind of being dickheads.
Well, I mean...
most people who try for all of that typically are.
It's true.
I appreciate their perspective because I somewhat agree. I would like to see more of this story being told at some point. But I think they're going about it the wrong way by attacking everything that Warner Brothers owns.
And I don't know. I think it's super funny and the most internet thing ever.
Well, your favorite movie that's coming up this week has a very negative review count right now, and it has not been seen yet. Godzilla vs. King Kong this week.
Well, all the reviewers that I've actually seen, like the organizations, have given it positive reviews.
But there was a storm of Snyderverse, let's call them fans, even though...
gatekeeping jackasses?
Yeah, let's go with gatekeeping jackasses.
They dare criticize my movie. I will kill them all.
They absolutely buried basically anything that Warner Brothers is producing.
Interesting. I wonder if that's going to move on to Mortal Kombat.
If they continue this trend, I'd probably say yes. But the interesting part of this is that we were basically told that Snyderverse is not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went in. Everybody knew this was a one shot.
Yeah.
Put everything out you got, Zach.
And that's why it was a 4-hour movie, because he threw everything out.
It's over after this. Yeah. There is no more. There's nothing left in the tank. The wheels fell off the fucking car. Yeah. It's not going anywhere, you dumb shits.
And you know, I can appreciate the perspective of wanting to see more, but this was the wrong approach.
It definitely is. From a fan's perspective, yes, I would love to see more. Do I want to see more of the Fatal Justice League? Absolutely. I think it'd be perfect to see Deathstroke team up with Batman, a fucking Joker fight where he rips up the card and punches him in the mouth. That'd be great. Yeah. But it's not gonna happen. There are some things that you just kind of be like, okay, that'd be cool. No, it's done. Just accept it, move on.
Now there is potential, I guess, once we get the full spectrum of movie watching and all this stuff, and once HBO gets their hands on all that and Warner Brothers gets their hands on all the information, because apparently this movie has been nonstop streaming.
And you know what? For a 4-hour film, that does not surprise me. And I've seen that Batflick has said he will only return as the Bat if Snyder is doing the film.
Yeah.
Okay, which... it is respectable. I understand that. And that's fine. But it's a moot point. And it's this gatekeeping that really just messes things up. And
that's the biggest problem. Yeah. Yep. Because the potential, and even though everyone said that this will never happen, this is the end. That's a money thing.
It is.
This is the end only extends to how much money you're going to make them. Yes. And if they saw enough positive and enough positive and enough positive over time, the potential exists that they would do something. But trying to bash this company into submission at this point is not the way that it's going to happen.
Because that's how you end up with the final season of Lost.
Exactly.
So let's talk about something that has sparked our attention that is completely... off the rails, amazing in Invincible. Holy, this is a
sweet Christ on a cracker.
Robert Kirkman
is
a psychopath. So
Kirkman creates this comic back in the Walking Dead days, and he's still an unknown when Invincible hits the shelves.
Oh, yeah, very much.
He still has, McFarlane still has no idea who Robert Kirkman is. At this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Kirkman really was responsible for saving Image's ass.
Oh,
and nobody really gives him credit. So Invincible, kind of for at least the first, I would say, 20 issues, flies under the radar. A lot of people don't.
Literally.
Well, same with Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And because you're like, how do you make a comic book out of the apocalypse? So exactly. Invincible is not, because right away, as soon as everyone, because Walking Dead took off before Invincible.
Oh, yeah.
And which is funny. So it's fine. So they're like, oh, it's the guy that does zombie books. And then all of a sudden, Invincibles catches on. Oh. And the print run goes through the roof. But it's those early issues. And this story is absolutely, oh, my God, perfect. Absolutely. This is like, I'm waiting for the Sandman and Why the Last Man to come and just give it justice, the same as Invincible. This is a work of art. This is perfect.
This is Kirkman's big fuck you to DC, essentially.
It is.
And he drops the hammer on them episode one.
Yeah, okay. So the first, I would say, 35, 40 minutes of episode one, I'm watching it and I'm like, oh,
it's kind of an interesting, kind of
okay.
It's an origin story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Bleh. I'm not really getting into it. It's just kind of on for background noise while I'm doing my other shit. And then the last 10, 15 minutes of the episode happens.
Everything goes sideways.
And then Omni-Man goes kind of going, holy motherfuck. Only.
Oh.
And so here's the thing. Like, you used to say shit like only on HBO, only on Cinemax. But no, now Amazon Prime owns this shit.
So it is so in the vein of The Boys, but it's not. It has that element, but it's not. And I couldn't imagine this show live action. Oh my God.
Wow,
crazy. If you thought The Boys was brutal, Invincible action.
This one goes way past what The Boys do.
This is why Invincible cannot be live action.
No, yeah. It can't.
Like, but the thing he did with like the karate chop on the neck and the head and the, oh,
that was like the least traumatic thing that he did to those
kids. The head, yeah. And leash on the eyeballs.
Yeah, the Flash gets skished. Wonder Woman gets twisted.
Fishman gets his head just.
Oh my God! I mean, it is just DC getting their asses handed to them.
Oh, yeah.
I will eviscerate you in fiction, and boy, did they get eviscerated. And it only gets better worse.
The first episode.
Well, that's how you catch an audience for a season. That's how you do that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, I was bored with the first 30 minutes. I was just like, oh, hey, look, origin story. Here's a kid. It's going to be like Sky High. He's a late bloomer coming into his powers. Nope.
Yeah. Wait till you find out about that.
Yeah. There's more story to that that's going to be coming up.
So much more story. Holy, and that's what's great about this.
Shitballs.
There is a lot of valuable story behind this. It's not just all grim and just destruction. There is a very compelling driving story behind this whole huge arc that we've barely even touched on.
I cannot wait to find out what it is.
By the way, any of our listeners that have early copies of Invincible, go ahead and check eBay today.
Yeah. I'm just watching my Invincible number one skyrocket.
That was a dramatic increase.
Yes, it was.
I can only imagine.
Overnight, literally. Okay.
Literally overnight, it rivals Walking Dead, honestly.
Yep.
All right, now here's the question. Compared to what the initial appearance of White Vision did.
Not even close.
Double that, I think.
Yeah. You can't even compare them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even a fair comparison, because the print run is so small on Invincible 1, it is literally like Walking Dead number one. It is hugely limited, short. I don't even think it had 1,500 copies on Invincible 1.
I didn't realize it was that limited.
It was a very, very, very short run.
Yes. Very.
Even 2 is a very short run, honestly.
Yeah. It's not until you get like into maybe 12 or 15.
I was going to say around 10.
Respectable.
Yeah. They started getting.
Even 10 is still kind of dodgy, but it's like running around 12 or 15 that you're starting to see a decent
normalized print run for Image, essentially.
Yep.
but a lot of those early ones were very, very short. When did they hit 10,000?
I have no idea. I don't even remember that number.
But that puts that should put it in perspective. And for the early of this comic book, it was a reader. It was people. I guarantee 90% of people who bought this just stuck it in a box somewhere.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of people probably picked it up and have no idea they have it.
Yeah, this is sitting in someone's garage or basement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the book went up by so much that it's literally unbelievable.
Yep. This is, if you have to do a comparison, this is this generation's Hulk 181.
That's a good comparison. Yeah.
Between Walking Dead number one and Invincible number one, this is this generation's Hulk 181.
Yeah.
First appearance of Wolverine.
Yeah. Which is technically not true, but we'll deal with that later. Technically, 180 was his first appearance.
It's just a glove, and everyone says it's 181.
I know.
But it's the same thing they did about that offline.
Well, it's the same thing they did with Gambit, and they gave.
I can pull out my Hulk 181 if you'd like me to. It's right over there.
Mine is back there somewhere.
Right, so it sounds like the next time Nerds That Know get together, we'll do it over at Smurf's place so that
we won't.
Hank can have a moment in the collection rooms.
No, yeah. We won't.
I think that'll be a private visit for just me and Smurf, maybe.
Yeah, let me finish rebuilding the room.
I don't want to know about that.
Let me finish rebuilding some rooms.
On your own time is your own business.
He's got to climb like two floors of crap to get to the room of where it's at right now. So,
and I thought we weren't going to talk about butt stuff on this episode.
But Invincible, if you have any interest in over-the-top anime involving superheroes gone wrong.
Well, and it really does have a 1980s anime feel to it. It has a very classic anime story and art, and just it really feels good.
And J.K. Simmons.
Oh my God! Awesome. I mean, the voices on this: Steven Yeun, Glenn from The Walking Dead is in it. Seth Green is in it. No, Seth Rogen. No, Seth Rogen. Rogen's in it.
Yeah.
There are so many celebrities that make voicial appearances?
Vocal appearances.
Thank you. Yeah, maybe I've had too much vodka. Vocal appearances. I keep pausing it to see who's like talking. There's a who's who of people that keep popping up.
Oh yeah. I saw myself stopping repeatedly when they because the way Prime does their stuff is they have the little blips of trivia and all that kind of stuff.
I do actually really like that, having that on.
It's almost like pop-up video.
Yeah. For those who are old enough to remember pop-up video.
I do! Pop-up great!
But it's fun in the worst possible way.
Oh my God, it is. I can't wait. So much more to come.
The deranged part of my brain is like, this is awesome, and I want to watch every second of it again. Already.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were lucky. They gave us the first three episodes right out of the gate. Yes. Every Friday, there's a new episode. So I don't know how long this is going to go. My guess is 12 episodes.
I think it's 12 is what I heard.
So
let's see. They may continue it on. And, you know, with the reaction it's already getting, I'm sure we'll have at least a season two.
Oh, this is going to be a smash hit. Yeah, this is going to be the big hit for...
They've got another Boys on their hands.
Yeah.
They really do. And I don't think it's going to bother people that it's not live action.
And surprise.
No, because I actually kind of like the fact that it wasn't live action for what we got.
Especially for all the squishy bits. Boy. Yes.
And there's a lot of squishy bits.
There's a lot of squishy bits.
So I know we covered a lot in a short amount of time, and there are still questions and speculations coming in about Russell Crowe being added to Thor: Love and Thunder. You know, talk about the new cast appearances in Obi-Wan. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to call it an early night. And since my computer is that of which controls the universe that Nerds That Know live on, I'm going to have to say goodnight to you all. Does anyone have any last parting thoughts or words of wisdom or of inappropriateness that they would like to share with our fans?
I'm just glad we didn't talk more about butt stuff this episode.
Fox, I always want to do butt stuff with you. If that helps.
And we came back with
last week when we were talking about butt stuff.
I know, I'm so sad I missed it.
Everything that Bobby touched on there, honestly, a big chunk of it, we don't know enough yet. We have very little information.
I've got a theory for what's going to happen with
stuff. I know lots about butt stuff. I can teach you.
I'm not worried about the butt stuff. We're good on that for now. But we'll know more about, you know, Russell Crowe and Thor and Love and Thunder and all that. Well, there's going to be a lot more coming out in the next few weeks, I'm assuming. So,
do you hear that, Tank? Love and Thunder.
Which sounds like Russell Crowe is in a porn about butt stuff.
Yeah, it
sounds like they're totally following up Ragnarok with another giant 80s clash of craziness.
Actually, it sounds like the porno version of Les Mis that he totally butchered. So,
no, we do not speak of that film.
No, we don't, because Russell Crowe's a dick.
He killed it. He ruined it.
He did.
The entire thing.
I agree. I am 100% with you on that. So I am not excited about Russell Crowe joining Love and Thunder, because there is no love, and the only thunder is his own flatulence.
Russell Crowe has become my Tom Cruise.
Yes! Ouch. And on that bombshell, we shall say goodnight! Until next week, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind. And give us a like.
Yeah.
And a follow.
And subscribe.
And a butt touch.
Catch us on YouTube.
Yes, all the butt touches here.
Touch and now on that note, goodbye!
I will touch all the buttons.
All the buttons.